Hi there, it's me again, the bogus boat god. And this time, I hope we really are going to get to those differences, conceptual physical differences between the three multi-hull types, catamaran, trimaran, and proa.
I'll believe it when I hear it.
Okay, lady, then sit up and pay attention. Now, in order to get where we're going, I'm going to have to confine my remarks mostly to the cruising-type multi-hulls, and mostly to catamarans and trimarans. The proa, well, we're trying to compare apples and oranges here with cats and tris, and the proa is, let's say, a kumquat, and it really deserves another caper. And I will ask for your forgiveness in advance for my obvious trimaran predisposition. But as I see it, there is plenty of ammunition on both sides of the table to argue the issue of catamaran versus trimaran. You know, there are some people who don't think that trimarans are multi-hulls. They're something else. And let's face it, both types work. And I think of their comparison as being the new trade-off. It's cat crazy versus tri-fi or trimaran fidelity. Cat crazy versus trimaran fidelity. Here we go. Let's start by speaking of the difference in their structures. When we join two or three hulls together, the main issue, structural issue, is what we call global torsion. When we join two or three hulls together, the problem is that they each of these hulls encounters the seaway at a different time. The upwind hull is trying to climb over the wave before the downwind hull ever sees it. And this generates a substantial twisting stress on the platform that joins the two hulls. And this stress can definitely be accommodated, especially with our modern materials. But it is fundamentally easier, let's say less stressful, to join outrigger hulls to one main hull than it is to join two, quote, main hulls together. And furthermore, added to this issue of global torsion, we have rigging stresses. The greatest stress point in the entire vessel, in either type, is at the step of the mast. It's columnar load on the mast. It pushes down on the boat at perhaps two or even three times the weight of the entire vessel. And the second greatest stress point is where the headstay or jib stay attaches to the bow of the vessel and to the top of the mast. In the trimaran, you have the bow of the main hull, to which one, of course, attaches the headstay. In the catamaran, there's nothing out there unless you build a bridge between the two bows, including a cross spar and a so-called seagull striker, in order to find some way to attach the jib stay to the boat, because otherwise there's nothing out there but air. Now, of course, this can be accomplished. It's done in all catamarans, pretty much all catamarans. But that contraption out there that joins the two bows together of a catamaran receives the stress of the headstay pulling up and has to deliver that stress through the bows of both hulls and into the crossbeam and then to the mast step. It's a circuitous load path relative to that of the trimaran, whose headstay tension can be delivered directly back to the mast step compression through the main hull itself. Structurally, it's a much happier situation in my view. Moreover, the cruising type trimaran requires only one rudder on the stern of the main hull, of course, and it requires only one means of providing lateral resistance, such as one daggerboard or one swing centerboard or one fixed keel or one fixed keel centerboard daggerboard combination. And furthermore, I'm really adding them up on you now, that combination of an on-center centerboard, daggerboard, keel combo, whatever the lateral resistance is provided by, if that lateral resistance is on-center underneath the mast, combined with the rudder that is on the main hull, normally, that is conceptually, leads to superior windward performance and steering properties, particularly in the case of maneuverability and upwind performance. And to top it off, forgive me for piling it higher and deeper here, but to top it off, if this cruising type multi-hull is equipped with an inboard engine, in the trimaran, all you need is one. You can also do with just one in the catamaran, but it's a little strange, huh? I've known several catamarans that get by on an engine in one hull, but it takes a special kind of seamanship. And while the trimaran's propeller is normally located so as to shoot its prop blast directly at the rudder to achieve excellent maneuverability, nevertheless, the catamaran that's equipped with twin engines has really a great advantage when it comes to maneuvering in tight places. You can turn the boat around in its own length. So the catamaran has the advantage if given twin engines. So now, to run roughshod over the poor catamaran, again, let's go back over it and say that the catamaran requires two rudders, and those rudders require a rather involved linkage in order to be steered from a cockpit with whatever steering system it is, tiller, wheel, cables, hydraulics, whatever it is. Twin rudders in a catamaran hooking up the linkage can be very involved. Of course, the trimaran needs a steering linkage too, unless there's a direct tiller to the rudder, which is a great system, not normally possible in catamarans. But whatever linkage, steering linkage, there is in this trimaran, at least it only has to reach one rudder. And of course, the catamaran, twin-hulled catamaran, implies, if not requires, but at least implies, including two daggerboards or centerboards, or two fixed keels, and or two keel centerboard combinations. But nevertheless, however, moreover, both types, catamaran and trimaran, require some kind of fixed keel on their bottom, some kind of mini keel to increase the draft of the hull enough to protect the rudder, unless the rudder is of the kick-up type. And of course, that's really the way to do it. If you have a catamaran, you need two kick-up rudders. In the case of the trimaran, you only need one. And a kick-up rudder is an involved thing, believe me. As Donald Trump would say, believe me. I hope you'll also believe that I'm not trying to shoot down catamarans. I love catamarans, especially the big ones. It's just that some of these reasons that I've given, some of these comparisons, I think help explain why the cruising type catamarans have become so astronomically expensive. Not only to build, to sell, but to own, because one has to maintain all these systems. Remember, I said that the catamaran owner is into animal husbandry, and what you've got in a catamaran is a Siamese twin animal to take care of. Of course, a cruising trimaran can also be a critter on your back. It's just a different critter, a different configuration. So let's talk about those configurations for a moment here. The twin hulls of a catamaran are identical twins. They're both just alike. Asymmetric hulls in a catamaran are very unusual these days. And catamaran hulls are big, much bigger than the outboard hulls, the outrigger hulls, or call them AMAs, or whatever you want to call them. I call them floats. Catamaran hulls are much bigger than trimaran floats. The overall breadth or beam of a catamaran, with its hull set wide apart, is, by the old rule of thumb, about half as wide as it is long, whereas the overall beam of a trimaran is more like two-thirds as wide as it is long. Those figures have been pushed around somewhat, depending on the design. Many of today's boats are somewhat wider than that, but still, the point is that trimarans are wider overall than catamarans, but the spacing between the hulls in catamarans is greater. There's only two of them, whereas the spacing between the hulls in trimarans is not as wide as it is in catamarans. And that comparison relates to what we call interplay wave making between the hulls. It's quite possible in trimarans, especially the older ones, for the main hull bow wave to peel away from the main hull and run into the float before amidships on the float. And that causes considerable drag. So modern trimarans have been pushed out wider and wider, and of course the racing boats are so wide that there's no way the main hull bow wave is going to get anywhere near the float. But the catamaran does not have that interplay wave-making problem as much because the spacing between the hulls is greater than in the trimaran. Another comparison is in load distribution. In the trimaran, almost all the load goes on the main hull. In the catamaran, the load is divided between two hulls. And of course, that distribution changes when sailing, particularly close haul to windward, when the leeward hull, the leeward hull, is burdened far more than the upwind hull. In trimarans, when sailing to windward, ideally the upwind float is actually lifted up out of the water so that it runs clear, no drag from the upwind hull in a trimaran going to windward. Whereas in the catamaran, they heel so little that the upwind hull may lift a bit, but it doesn't lift out. If indeed it does lift out, of course, you're asking for a flying hull and imminent capsize. Whereas in the trimaran, at least in the cruising type trimaran, the gross float buoyancy should not exceed by much the total displacement of the whole boat. That is, when heeling the trimaran, the lee float should be capable of depressing down enough to so that the deck gets sufficiently close to the surface that one can see that it's almost being driven under, it's being driven through the wave crests. And this happens before the main hull is lifted free of the surface. Whereas in the catamaran, the downwind hull is big enough to support the weight of the entire vessel if stood on edge. And that means that the catamaran can fly a hull without driving the downwind hull underwater. And therein lies a fundamental difference between the cruising-type catamaran and the cruising-type trimaran. The trimaran will not lift its main hull out of the water when heeled excessively, whereas the catamaran will fly the weather hull without really telling the sailor much about what's going on. We like to say that the trimaran is more intuitive to the inexperienced sailor. There's no doubt that watching that lee float being driven through the wave crests and throwing water in your face is going to tell you that the boat is being overdriven and it's time to ease up or change course or reef or whatever. The catamaran is not so communicative. Of course, in experienced hands, the catamaran can be sailed just as far as a trimaran. There's maybe not a lot of difference in the potential for capsize between one type and the other, at least if the crew knows what he's doing. But for the uninitiated sailor, there's no doubt that the trimaran is somewhat more intuitive to learn to sail. Another difference in these configurations is that the catamaran, when maneuvering, when turning, has both hulls in the water. That is, when the boat turns up into the wind and the heeling effort is relieved, both hulls are burdened more or less equally. One has to sweep the ends of both hulls through the turn in order to tack. Whereas in the trimaran, when the boat comes up into the wind, the heeling effort comes off. If properly designed, the trimaran floats are out there doing nothing more than supporting their own weight. They are more or less skimming the surface, and the main hull only is required to sweep its ends through the turn. And that explains the comparison in tacking. Trimarans are normally or conceptually better when tacking than catamarans. And the ability to come about was an early bugaboo with multi-hulls. Of course, nowadays, both types tack dependably. However, when the chips are down, that is, in very light airs, or in very strong winds with a steep, short chop, there's a darn good possibility that two more or less equal multi-hulls, one a cat, the other a tri, that the trimaran is going to come about and make it onto the new tack better than the catamaran. Now, it may be a rare occasion when this difference matters, but that occasion would be when either or both boats are caught against a lee shore and it's blowing like hell with a nasty seaway running, and both boats are pressed to claw their way off of a lee shore, as it's said. And the trimaran, with its centerboard or daggerboard or combination fixed keel centerboard, whatever it is, the adequate lateral resistance of either type, the trimaran's lateral resistance, because it protrudes from the main hull, which is deeper than the hulls of a catamaran, normally deeper than the hulls of a catamaran, it protrudes deeper down into solid water and hangs on. That, together with other factors, which I'll try to get to mention, seem to indicate that the trimaran configuration conceptually has better windward performance and better maneuverability when the chips are down than the catamaran. And when it comes to clawing off of a lee shore, that's something you might want. But it's also true that you could do just fine with twin engines in a catamaran to get off of a lee shore. And so who knows how much difference that really makes. Conceptually, it's important to me.
Hey, Tiger. It is more important to some of your listeners that you keep these capers short. They have to listen on the fly, like on their 20-minute commute. I see you're 19 minutes into this one and only halfway through your notes. So do something, blabbermouth.
Oh, there she goes again, the great mother of time. But she's right. We've got to split it up here and go quickly to caper number 15 and hope to post them both at once. So you don't have to wait for a whole stinking week to get the rest of this cat-crazy tri-fi. See you there.